This is Fresh Air. This is a period when several churches are debating sexual morality. In July, the Episcopal Church will decide on proposals relating to sexuality and the clergy. A panel of the United Methodist Church will soon recommend whether the church should continue to oppose homosexuality. The Evangelical Lutheran Church will soon issue a report on chastity and homosexuality. One set of sex-related recommendations was overwhelmingly rejected earlier this month by the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church. The recommendations were included in a report issued by the Presbyterian Church's Committee on Human Sexuality. My guest, Sylvia Thorson-Smith, was selected to be a member of the committee because of the past work she's done for the church on women's issues. She co-wrote and edited the report, which recommended the church stop restricting sexual activity to marriage alone and celebrate other forms of committed sexual intimacy.
We did ask to rethink the whole standard of sex in marriage only as ethical. We think that we need to rethink the idea that only relations that are in marriage and the fact that somebody are married or not, that sets an ethical standard. We think that needs to be looked at again because it's the substance of relationships. It's whether relationships are what we call justice-loving that determines whether they're ethical or not. And we see those relationships, some of them definitely within marriage, but also we see relationships that fit that criteria that aren't in marriage among single people, among gays and lesbian people. But we do not sanction just any sexual intimacy that's not in marriage. We have a very tough ethical standard that we proposed, what we call an ethic of common decency, that has seven different principles of fidelity, mutuality, consent, responsibility, bodily integrity, the goodness, valuing the goodness of our created sexuality and that it's life-enhancing for both people. All of those criteria need to be established and relationships need to be attested by them, whether they're married or not.
Who would be the judge?
Well, we believe that people are free and responsible to be the judges of their own sexual relationships. We think that we are given that kind of freedom, and certainly as Christians, we are free people, and we believe that Christ came and taught us to love each other, with justice and with fairness and with right relatedness, that we're called to do that in our personal relationships and certainly in our church community. And so we do believe that people are free, but they need to be responsible.
I would guess that a period like ours in which there's a lot of sexually transmitted diseases, including AIDS, isn't the best climate to be suggesting this kind of reform on sexual issues.
Well, certainly we have a chapter in our report about AIDS and the compassion that is needed as well as the advocacy for victims of AIDS and those infected by HIV and all sexually transmitted diseases. We need a lot more work as individuals and as a church to respond to the AIDS crisis and to advocate that the government do more. So there certainly is the climate of sexually transmitted diseases that influences all this. But we also want to value our sexuality. I think one of the difficulties with AIDS is that it very powerfully links our fears about sexuality and death. And we don't want to be led by our fears into damaging sex negativity, where we fear all sex and that we sort of clamp down harder and with more control. We need to value our sexuality, but we need to learn how to live with that in responsible and life-enhancing ways, and we think that that can be done even in an age where we are fearful of disease.
What's the Presbyterian stand on birth control?
Oh, we have a long history of being very affirmative in terms of people's freedom and responsibility to make decisions about procreation. The Presbyterian Church has long been advocates not only of the individual freedom to maintain and use contraception and birth control, but we believe that people and our public policy is also that there needs to be widespread access for people who choose to use birth control and contraceptive methods. We also have a long-standing policy of close to 20 years supporting women's rights with regard to abortion. We are a pro-choice denomination, and we support public policies that maintain women's freedom to make those choices. We believe that people need to have choice and freedom to be responsible over their reproductive decision-making.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Sylvia Thorson-Smith, and she was a member of the committee that authored the report on human sexuality for the Presbyterian Church, and their recommendations were just voted down at a meeting of the General Assembly of the Church earlier this month. We'll talk more about the report after we take a short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Sylvia Thorson-Smith, and we're discussing a report that she co-authored and edited on human sexuality for the Presbyterian Church, a report that was voted down earlier this month at the Presbyterian Church's General Assembly. Well, another controversial recommendation made in the report is that gays and lesbians be received and accepted as full members of the church. What is the Presbyterian Church's stand now on homosexuality?
Well, since 1978-79, the position has been that we repudiate homophobia. We are not to be irrationally fearful of lesbians and gays, and we are to welcome them as members into our community of faith. And yet we have still on our position that homosexuality is fundamentally a sin, and that homosexual behavior and expression is sinful, and therefore that self-avowed practicing homosexuals cannot be ordained. And one of my very serious disagreements and sadnesses about the General Assembly was that that was, in a sense, reaffirmed. A line was included in the pastoral letter that we continue to abide by this position, as though this General Assembly reaffirmed that of sorts. We worked very hard in our report to help people rethink the issues of lesbians and gays, to look at the Bible with different eyes, to see this as a justice issue, much the same as we have looked at other justice issues. We have rethought how the Bible interpreted issues of race and slavery. We did that over a century ago. We, in this century, have rethought the issues of women. Our denomination ordains women and has as elders since the 1930s and as ministers since the 1950s. We had the same struggles around those issues on what does the Bible say, what is the authority of the Bible, and can we reinterpret the Bible. We try to help people see that we think the Bible needs to be reinterpreted on issues of homosexuality as well, that it is fundamentally unjust to relegate gays and lesbians to second-class citizenship within membership within our church, and as long as they cannot be ordained, as long as they cannot be free to say who they are among us, we think that is just a serious injustice, and I'm deeply grieved that this is continuing.
I think your report is considered the most radical of the current reforms being suggested in American mainstream churches. Did you consider toning it down a little bit, hoping that, it might get more acceptance if it were toned down?
Well, we certainly knew the politics out there. We knew the pressures from the time we started working. There were lots of fears about what our committee was going to propose. As any group in a church works on these issues, there is so much fear around sexuality issues, and we were aware of that. But we decided as we were doing our work, and I think it's a testimony to the integrity of this work, that we were all people of faith that were called to do this task for this particular time, and that we had to be moved and led by what we believe to be faithful, a good and faithful word for our day. You know, these are people with deep faith convictions that this is indeed, you know, God's word around sexuality issues as we've seen it and as we offer it for others to talk about it. And we know that it's not the last word. We know that it's not the only word. We know that it does not reflect the views of all Presbyterians. Certainly, you can see that in the division in our church. But it is our best word, and we felt moved to say what we were called and led to say, and not to sort of play to pressures out there that would have us tone it down. And I think that it will stand the test of time as a really rather historic moment, that this word is part of a conversation that's going on, but that lots of people are finding it a very hopeful and useful word, and I'm proud that our church has offered it.
I'd like to ask you to reflect on what you feel you're up against trying to get change in religion, and after all, religion is based on upholding tradition, and the religious principles are based on the Bible and ancient texts. So, reform is a very slow and often difficult process in any religion, I think.
Well, we certainly have that to deal with. There are always the tensions, I think, certainly within religion, but in the culture at large, whether you're talking about politics and government or religion. There are the pressures to maintain the status quo, but there are also the voices of change. And the church, in its tradition, has had both. And we belong to the Reformed tradition. Presbyterians stand in the tradition of the Reformation. John Calvin and Martin Luther were voices of radical change. Much of what we don't understand is how radical their new views were about sexuality. They took a major turn in saying that celibacy, and particularly the celibate clergy, were no longer the ideal for Christendom, that clergy could be married, and that sexuality was reaffirmed as something good. We stand in that tradition, and we believe that throughout the centuries, Christians in every age have had to look at their culture and test what is the biblical word for our day. And like I said, we did that around issues of race and slavery. We certainly have done it around issues of women. We still struggle with changes regarding women. Our church has moved greatly in that regard, and we need to keep doing that kind of movement. And those have been justice issues. We look at injustices, we look at inequalities, and we say, this is not faithful to our best lives as Christians, as Presbyterians, and call for change. And when we look back with clearer eyes, we see that those were the best days of the church. When we made those changes for justice, the church was at its best. And we can't always see that when we were in the middle of it, but I am sure that 100 years from now, we will see this as part of very positive change.
Can you give me a sense of personal ways in which you feel the church has let you down, and compare that to ways in which you feel that the church is just essential to your spiritual and mental health?
Well, the church is very much my community. I really am a child of the church. I've grown up, and it has been my support community, my faith community. I couldn't even think of leaving. I mean, I love this relationship. It's how I ground myself in terms of my faith and my relationships with people. So that is spiritually very fulfilling to me. I need to be there and part of this community. On the other hand, I am saddened, even angered, when I see the injustices of this institution. I believe what we are perpetuating with regard to gays and lesbians is an injustice that we just cannot continue to live with, and I will not be happy until this policy changes. But I intend to hang in there until it does, and I am fully persuaded that it will change, and I hope certainly soon and in my lifetime.
When you do something in your life that you really believe is just and morally correct, but it violates the teachings of your church, do you feel guilty about it?
Well, I think everybody struggles with that. We know what we've been taught, we know what we believe, and whenever we make ethical decisions, we struggle with whether we're being faithful to what our understanding of our faith is. The New Testament is full of illustrations where the early Christian church struggled with its laws and its structures and its religious norms, and believed that they were free to love and to be inclusive and to be just and to be a loving, caring community because of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. And that led them into new behaviors and to new religious norms. And so in every age, we're called to do what we think is faithful. We do not always have certainty that what we are doing is indeed faithful, but we are led by our best instincts and hope that the Spirit is with us. That's all I can say is that we have, those of us certainly that have offered this report, have given it our best offering, as we say, with as much integrity as we can muster.
Well, thank you very much for talking with us.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Sylvia Thorson-Smith was a member of the Presbyterian Church's Committee on Human Sexuality. She spoke to us from Iowa, where she teaches religious studies at Grinnell College. Copies of the report on human sexuality are available from the offices of the Presbyterian Church USA in Louisville, Kentucky. This is Fresh Air.